strength I don't know how to play. And I don't want to anyway. Need to delete this game and go back to another save. But my hard drive sparked. Zero charisma, zero luck. I don't have any skills or the XP to fix my.
Hello and welcome to the 10th episode of the National Institute for Gamer Reviews Gamer Core. I am DK.
I'm Lewis, and have you played the new Tomb Raider C at the Bungie office where you steal breast milk?
Lara Croft's like, no. Yes. So, been a while. I was thinking about this. I was like, when we started the show, there was a sense of like, okay, well, we want to kind of split off the contemporary gaming news content from the more kind of timeless examinations of key titles or genres and so on. And I think that's worked. I think that basic division makes a lot of sense. What I didn't anticipate was that there would be quite as much of a need for coverage of what I guess you could call breaking gamer news. Part of that, I think, was that I didn't... I'm kind of over the contemporary gaming industry for the most part. I just don't care that much. And so I didn't think of it as that much stuff happening that was newsworthy. And in a sense, that's true because it's not about, you know, new titles or new features or cool killer apps or anything like that. Rather, the ongoing story, which we're kind of, you know, we have other topics and we cover other stuff. But in a lot of respects, I think what we're chronicling here is just the complete implosion and destruction of the gaming industry. If not yet in a fiscal sense, then in various kind of cultural senses.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think gaming news has broadly been reduced to printing press releases.
Advertisement. It's glorified. I mean, they had this problem even in the 90s and 2000s, but now it's really just over. They're literally just, from advertising copy. Yeah, it's pathetic. So what's left is either some kind of, you know, complaint of the day. I had a bookmarked article. I don't think we ever talked about it, but it was a bookmarked. I'll talk about it now. Where I guess it was MechWarrior Online had initially banned a clan or somebody participating in some kind of tournament because their name that they adopted for the tournament was like Trans Kids Matter or something like that. And they were like, it was basically the neutral enforcement of a rule. Like, you can't do like real world political shit in this. That's against the rule. Like, they had a rule against like no political advocacy in your username for this tournament or whatever.
I'd like to thank the Chinese government for that, by the way.
Which is exactly what that was about, right? It was the Blizzard Hong Kong stuff. Anyway, so they're like, you can participate, but you can't use that name. Imagine what happened next, and of course they repealed the ban after outcry from 46% of suicide victims or something. I don't know how to do the math anyway. So and so there's a lot of like that's kind of what passes for gaming news these days,
or us bitching about it's a training writing. Like, for instance, yeah. I don't want to bring it up. The new Space Marine looks very cool. It finally got a sequel.
Or, it's not Relic though, right?
It's a new studio. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, that couldn't have been happening. All the rights reasons and stuff. But yeah, there's a writer who's like a tranny or feminist. I don't care.
If it's good, it'll be good. We'll judge it on its merits.
Well,
I want to
tie that into our Bungie stuff later because I have a theory.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, okay, so that was all by way of preface to. There's a
Which should we do, breast milk first?
I think we have to. There's a pair of stories that just came out, and we had other stuff to talk. So the bottom line is for our listeners, I just want you to know, I think we're going to be doing at least, I don't know, who knows, famous last words, I guess. I think we're going to be doing a little more Gamercore in the mix, just because like this story isn't going away. The Blizzard's implosion is like at most halfway through. There's tons of more ruination.
And there's like a Me Too thing Me Too like, me also, where like game dev does bad things,
yes.
And then other when like
didn't even get to that. Someone else wants attention. The psycho girlfriend ASMR.
Oh,
so
we'll get to what
we should mention that to her. If not this week, because I don't know, we got a lot of stuff to. We'll see. But if not now, then definitely the So as you say, this kind of like Me Too internal to the gaming industry. There's just a lot of stuff along these lines, and so I anticipate most likely that we'll be doing a little bit more of that, just because there's so much of it and it's so funny and interesting.
We got to get right into it.
We got to get into it.
The most famous R9K poster of all time at this point. So you're familiar with the R9K angle?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's such a great screen cap.
Oh, wait, I didn't even know. Which specific one are you talking about?
The breast milk. So, like, 2 years ago, this frog poster on R9K is like, oh, guess who, like...
Yes.
I'm a sick degenerate.
I just stole and drank my coworker's
breast milk. And they're like, what? And everybody's like,
everybody's like, what the fuck are you doing, you fucking sicko?
And everybody else, and then of course, it's like R9K. Other people are like, based. And then.
two years later.
Yeah. But even in that thread, they ask, like, where do you work? And he's like, oh, I work at a. I don't know if he said a major game, but he's like, I work at like a top.
I don't remember that part
he
of
said,
it.
He said, I work like at a top 100 or top 50. Like, I basically.
A Fortune 100 company.
Yeah, something like that. And it was like...
yeah. Right. Well, so for those of you who maybe...
Also, he drank it cold, which is kind of weird. He said in the thread. Oh, he drank it like...
Oh, God.
It's not meant to be consumed that way.
So here's the story. I guess it's originally a Twitter thread by employee. I think she's an employee or former. It doesn't really matter.
I would be a former employee in this situation.
Yeah, right. Could you imagine? Well, this also goes to our theme of like, I think you got to distinguish between the problems at Blizzard and the problems at Bungie. Personally, like we'll get into this, but I think Blizzard is like, there's legitimate bad behavior there. That's bad behavior by any standard, and this is not simply a question of like feminists running amok or something. Anyway, let me read it. So I guess it was a Reddit post or something. I'm hoping that a number of items was fixed when I brought this up a few years ago. Everyone who was involved has since left, and the last I reported something, it appears consistently people drop the ball in maintaining these things. Some of the issues that I encountered. The chairs would rock backward and forward and could not be locked in position to properly position oneself to pump. The tables were made of wood, were porous and textured, so even though they were clean, breast milk built up and caked on the table, discoloring and leaving trapped milk on the table. The outlet situation was a fire hazard. There were only two plugs per room, one plug being, this is a former female employee at Blizzard, and she gets through a list of
I do not care if the breast milk pumping room in Blizzard is like poorly maintained.
Refrigerators had padlocks. Well, refrigerators had padlocks that were not consistently locked or could be accessed by other employees. Employees were using the fridges to store their beer in, but the reason where there were locks on them in the first place is that nursing people's breast milk would be stolen. So, yeah. I want to push back just a little bit on this. I mean, I know, the ethno state, it's not like we're going to have a whole lot of female employees in the office, but to the extent that you have some, I think it's not too much to ask, especially a giant company like that, to have like facilities for women to pump in the office. Maybe I'm going to, whatever. That's my libtarded take for the day. But regardless, the idea that people are like, and I guess the follow up to this made it sound like this wasn't a one off thing, that I guess some other women chimed in and were like, yeah, you know, we this was like an ongoing problem at this company, which, like, where do you even begin with that?
So, and it'll come up a lot much later, the Bungie thing, these studios, like. Just the way I understand, I can read through the lines of all these stories, especially where these people work. These people are being, like, they need to bring in a certain amount of women and a certain amount of, you know, black women or whatever.
Diverse individuals in the IGN stories.
People of crime. And, and they silo them off into the writers.
Yes, that's definitely what that was, but for sure always, that's what's going on in the Bungie story.
And I think that's a trend because also. They have, and Bungie brings it up, it happens a lot of Bungie, but you can read the lines, it's universal almost.
Yeah.
They actually have got this
department. It's not like they're going to be coding.
Well, they also have the Department of Cinematics, who actually put the pen to paper effectively.
Right.
And is all dudes and just like.
Yeah.
And
of
just,
course.
And just when they have to record the voice lines, they just like squash the libtarded shit as much as they can.
Right.
And that's.
Yes.
And I think they've effectively created, like, there's obviously like already kind of American cultural rot and coon brain, but they've also sideload these people off from the rest of the company. They do not see them part of the same unit.
It's like this
weirdo, like, it's this, like, you know, basically frozen off intentionally.
Yeah.
From, like, the real studio, and they're not, like, considered part of the company internally. It's like, oh,
I wonder,
these are the broads who, like, mess things up.
So is this my internalized anti-white racism that I assumed that the freaks who were doing this were white?
I don't... Who knows? Like, perhaps. Maybe. I don't know.
It strikes me as, like, a kind of, like, the white incel, you know, just extremely socially maladapted kind of R9K poster thing to do, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but, like, you could also be, like, a Pajit, absolutely. A Pajit or an Asian.
Exactly.
And like, that incel is actually pretty, it's a diverse community, right. And, you know, we should not.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, that's what I was, the reason I brought it up
is they never caught the guy, right?
Presumably not.
They never brought up, like, we don't. You assume that would be like,
this would be, yeah,
and this is the time we caught him.
This is the guy who did it. Yeah. I guess the reason I said it is because, like, in my, like, as soon, when I was reading the story, that was the picture I had in my mind. But, like, that's, you know, we don't know what he looks like. We don't know what race he was.
Yeah, yeah. We can do, like, what a context denial all we want. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. So in other words, your theory here is, like, it's not, in other words, this was a unit on a floor or whatever, an area that it's just the kind of people that, because she also, like, her grammar, I actually was reading it for the first time. I had seen the story. I wanted to go to the source. That was a bad idea. That's usually not a bad idea, but in this case it was, partially because she was talking about a bunch of irrelevant shit that don't matter, but also because her grammar was atrocious. I was, like, fixing it on the fly. So this is clearly, like, a low IQ, lowly educated individual. I don't know. I mean, if she's a writer, like, that's even more alarming. She's definitely not a coder, so what the fuck is she doing there?
Yeah. I think you can't ever say that. We'll refer back
to it.
We'll
go back to this.
Because it's kind of a universal, like,
right.
problem.
No, that's a good idea. Okay, so the other story, and this was, like, a big kind of long read in IGN.
IGN finally decided they could do journalism, investigative work, and talk to people, and it's about, like, of all the things... Like, they decide, oh, we're going to do some journalism, or at least interview, like,
right,
three people.
There's a meta story here. They've done a little bit of that, as I recall, with, like, maybe some Star Citizen stuff in the past. Like, maybe it was a different publication, but it's definitely, there's a meta story here, and that was one of the things that I did want to talk about. It's noteworthy that IGN, which used to basically be the most neutral platform in the games journalism world, at least one I was, I mean, it pointedly not Kotaku, and they're I mean, if they were more guilty of this kind of, you know, copying advertisement copy as, like, as a, you know, press release, as an article or a review, you could at least make the argument, and I had seen this argument being made, and I kind of felt that way myself, that it was the kind of best alternative to overt politicization. Like, you just sort of report the facts, even if the facts are, you know, EA's press release, rather than getting into the being another Kotaku or something. This is a massive shot. I wouldn't say across the bow. This is an act of war. This is like IGN saying, you know, no, this is who we are now. This is what we're going to be doing. And
but this also requires, I don't think you're going to see much of this because it requires a little of effort.
Sorry,
this is require. You're not gonna. I don't think you're gonna see too much more of this in the future. Like, maybe one per quarter, because this stuff requires.
This requires a lot of reporting.
Someone
yes,
to write actual, like 2,000 yes. what like 2,000 words for this.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, like a lot of words were written, and there's people at IGN are.
No, they're lazy, and they're not. It's not them. It's not Kotaku. Nor are they. Well, up to now, have they been trying to be? I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, from an editorial perspective, this was very noteworthy to me.
Yeah, because this article is like.
I just haven't seen anything like this from IGN before.
It's not a hit job, because there is a one-named source, but her allegations are quite mild, actually.
It's okay.
And then Anon sources go wild.
Yeah. So basically, okay, so here we go. IGN has spoken to 26 current and former employees that have worked at Bungie within the last decade. Their accounts of the studio's work culture encompass a wide range of experiences. They span overt sexism, boys club culture, crunch, and HR protection of abusers, as well as more complex stories of microaggressions, systemic inequalities, and difficulties in being heard. However, interviewees also include a number of more recent employees who, despite their own hurts, truly believe the studio is slowly but steadily improving, are candid about the immense challenge of trying to turn such a massive ship in a better direction, and whose accounts of change line up with statements made to IGN by Parsons, that is the CEO, in response to this piece. And basically, it's just a laundry list of mostly bullshit complaints, a lot of which are, from my limited experience of the corporate world, like, you're going to find that in any even medium-sized company. Things like, you know, oh, well, he had to take some personal time off because he was dealing with a death in the family or whatever. And then when he came back, you know, he had been taken off all his coolest projects and had to do a bunch of, you know, garbage work for a while. It's like, what? What do you expect? Like,
yeah. Well, here's like the transitory nature of like people who work in video games is they're kind of nomadic and... Like, that's the reason, like, a video game union won't... I'm not even against, like, a devs union or whatever, in theory, but, like, the money is too good to, like, these complaints get hushed up with the you make 100K plus, and that's kind of going... And you can, if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else quite easily.
And with your skills, it makes 70,000, you know.
Or and make 100K or somewhere else, yeah. Well, especially, and, well, I think the more interesting thing about this is not, it's how... Bungie responded, and so what's the name of the whistleblowers? She's a hilarious. It's a hilarious
it's
black
like,
woman name. And
yeah,
I don't. It's one that
Hyponia.
You,
I think
you almost feel bad making fun of it.
Cookie Hyponia.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not actually this racist, but that's a fucking black. That's like the blackest gorilla name I've ever heard. You know, it's like I'm not.
Cookie Hyponia. Yes,
I assure that's you,
that's like
the real
an
name.
Alabama.
That's like a
name.
Fucking Kotaku writer handle.
Yeah, right.
Like a non-contributor for you know, like on what
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah.
On like some what's the shitty forum that we used to go to? Now we don't. Fuck.
NeoGaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that's a NeoGaf handle. That's not a yeah. fucking person's yeah, right. name. Like I'm Cookie. It's like a.
Yeah.
But so her story, interesting personal stories, and I think this is what I want to bring up to my big theory on Bungie in particular. Outside of them being silent writers, she starts in QA.
Yes.
And she
yes.
probably gets, you know, fails upwards into writing because, okay, she can, maybe she's not
she
so good.
She shows at, up to work.
Maybe she's not so good at QA, but she can, like,
yeah.
take a seat in the writer's thing and writing in. I mean, Bungie games have been basically stripped of all kind of story at this point.
I wanted to mention this. I mean, and I just wanted to say, I've been playing Bungie games since the original Marathon on the Apple Macintosh. I did not own it. It was at a friend's house, but I have quite fond memories of early Bungie games pre-Halo. And I think I talked about this on the Halo episode. You know, I was psyched when Halo was a real-time strategy game, a real-time tactics game, and slightly disappointed when it became a first-person shooter and, you know, still enjoyed it as a first-person shooter. But anyway, like, I think the oldest person at Bungie is the CEO now has been there 20 years. So, no, granted,
which is a very good sign.
Yeah, that is definitely positive. But what is it worth when he's just essentially towing the line?
So
that
I have a better theory on. I have
All right.
a more conspiratorial theory. A little
okay,
bit. But also if you want to look at the decline and fall of Bungie, their games are they made the choice. I think post Halo Reach, Halo Reach is kind of like probably the peak of Bungie. In terms of like putting all the elements together, it does the story is there, the gameplay's great, it's a really good game, and I think people kind of initially didn't like because there's no Master Chief, but people have you know
gotten over it.
Past that, so yes, some of their like cultural cachet was tied up in Halo and being the Halo guys, but new Bungie, which is like 2011 at this point, it's been. Basically, current Bungie.
After, I guess, reacquiring themselves from Microsoft.
Yeah, post-Halo. Like, Bungie, you can just call it post-Halo. They have no, like, Destiny has no cultural influence.
We were talking about this briefly before the show. Like, yeah, I don't know who Destiny Race is.
Well, it's at the end of the day, it's like a Borderlands clone. And
yeah, sure.
And, like, for all the pluses and minuses of that, it's a very good Borderlands clone.
I played, like, 5 minutes of the demo once.
I played like
this feels like Halo, kind of.
For me, I was playing. I played 3 hours. Like, you shoot a guy, numbers pop out. It's like, oh man, yeah. I've done this. I've done a lot. I like Borderlands. I played a lot of Borderlands.
I actually never played any Borderlands. But we could.
That's probably the most influential game that didn't get too. But in a lot of like gameplay elements.
But I mean, I'm obviously familiar with the concept.
Borderlands clones are what they are. You shoot the guy, numbers pop out. You grind up. And they've been trying to like make it Destiny as a service. And I guess there's some people who do that where they buy all the expansion packs. But I mean, the lore is just like,
well, that's what I whatever. Want. That's the thing that I, so my, okay, so that's really what I wanted to talk about, essentially, because I think that's the intersection of like, that's where the meat of the story is for me. Because as you quite rightly know, we both noticed independently the same thing about this article, which is like, okay, clearly these mouth breathers have been like siphoned off into writing because that's the place where they can do the least amount of damage, at least as things stand. They also don't interfere with the actual production process, and
the part where the cinematics guys are just changing their shit is hilarious.
Yes, we'll get to that. But the funny thing about it is like, okay, so. So, there was this other, let me back up. So, Destiny lore is incomprehensible. I don't really care. If someone listening to this is somehow a Destiny fan and you think you can explain it to me, like, I guess go ahead and try.
You want me to just do it blind and see how close we are? How close sure. I can get? I played 4 hours of
the game. Okay.
And I've
read a little about the game. So, yeah.
So it takes place on Earth.
Yes.
So, which is cool because you can go to like Russia and do stuff or whatever, which has like a certain, you're not on like Halo planet,
you're on Earth.
Yeah. So there was some kind of cataclysm.
Yes.
Humanity and other things came to Earth.
There was like a good thing that came and then a bad thing to warn us and help us because there's a bad thing that's coming. And I guess in some Destiny 2 expansion just came.
More different bad things are coming.
There's different bad things, but there's one big bad thing.
Okay. And
the evil triangles from outer space.
And the humans have like abandoned Earth and are like...
Well, Earth is like mostly uninhabitable.
Yeah. And we all live in like space stations.
Or something.
And
we learn how to use like grenade powers from the good thing. The big orb thing that's like the good thing that's here to protect us. Basically the big white sphere that's good is here to protect us from the evil space triangles.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah. That's about where I'm at with it too. There's something level of like, there's a guilds. There's like the army is like a bunch of adventure. Like the human army is
they're trying to do this thing where
every Destiny player is
insane. We can't have a big army because that's no fun to play. So like the Earth Defense Force or whatever you want to call, I don't know what it's called, is,
I think they're Guardians.
No. They're called Guardians. Okay. They're a bunch of like independent, they're a bunch of like operator types.
Well, they're doing the weird thing, which is hard to do narratively, where every player is also like, you're not the only only human player in this narrative. Like other players.
Yeah, there's other, they're the whatever Guardians, but they're basically operators, but like, but why? But operators need an army, you know. It's sort of like it doesn't. But whatever.
Whatever. And that's. It's just. I mean, what you brought up our Halo thing was like, you know, we got each other Halo as like a middle brow sci-fi. This is doing middle brow poorly.
Yes, very much so. Well, it's the same thing that happened to Blizzard, of like original StarCraft has a kind of simple story that cribs heavily from 40K and elsewhere, but it really works. I think the StarCraft Brood War story is actually pretty good as middle-brow sci-fi stories go. Actually, I would say it's better than Halo. It's up there. StarCraft 2 is the suffers from the same. Oh, I saw that. What was it in the grim darkness of the far future? There is only lore. Was a quote I saw about this or something? Like basically, it's like. Or the replacement of narrative by lore, like people think that world building, not even like good world building, just like increasing elaboration on actually quite shoddy, but like the baseline setup for StarCraft isn't even very good. It just sort of works. It's a space that allows you to tell a certain kind of story, and the story mostly works. But it's not like the setting is so cool or something. Then they just, rather than they don't flesh it out in interesting ways, they just make it more and more and more elaborate, more and more and more pointless detail, to the point where all that pointless detail derails any ability to do anything other than...
I bet there's a massive wiki.
Oh, I'm sure. I've seen it. Oh. Yeah, there is.
It's...
The fandom or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Um, Well, that was the thing when I was like reading, because I actually quite enjoyed, I think Wings of Liberty was actually pretty good. I played and could not get through the second, whatever it was, the Zerg campaign for StarCraft II. And then when the Protoss campaign was released, I was like, I was going to check out reviews to make sure that it was going to be worth my time. And I was reading, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like all these names and random shit. Like, I don't even know what the fuck these things are. So I did a search and then like, and it was that's how I discovered the rabbit hole.
Also, that's how wonderful, because Destiny has the same problem with like all these names. Bungie did that very well in original Halo.
In original Halo,
there's like six named characters.
And they're totally, and like, you know, Guilty Spark and Cortana. And you know, the Chief, Master Chief,
and then
I guess the Major Anderson or whatever his name is. I forget if that's even his name, but the black dude, you know what I'm talking
about.
Oh
yeah, Sergeant whatever.
Sergeant what? Sergeant black guy.
Sergeant aliens, Colonial Marines. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yes.
No, it is great. Travis, I don't know. Johnson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
But and the rest are just like Marines, and there's your pilot.
I don't think they have names. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have that, and they got names later, but you just see it when you.
Yes.
They actually stopped doing names after Reach. They said stop putting names on them.
Sure.
Which is fine. Like, it makes it better. And, yeah, Destiny is just like a wash. That was, it's like a wash in names. And, like.
And all these weird, incomprehensible, pointless, like, alien-sounding names. But, like, not even, like, I don't know. Sometimes alien-sounding names work. These, to my aesthetics, at least, just don't. And maybe it's just because I'm predisposed. But that's the thing is, I was not predisposed to not like Destiny. When I heard Bungie was working on a new property, and I was kind of like, I don't know, multiplayer looter shooter type. I'm not super psyched.
When I saw numbers pop off the guys,
this is just going to be terrible. And but even then, I was like, because I remember early articles from, like, essentially alpha days or pre-alpha days of Destiny when it was still just in the planning phase. They were talking a big game in the gaming press about how, his story is going to be a big focus. And we felt that was one of the kind of, you know, weaknesses of Halo on the whole was, okay, we had some
wrong
good moments, but
wrong.
Well,
fact check, false.
And then, but they were like, this is going to be our thing. We want to make sure we have a really cool, compelling story to tell. And it was just garbage. It's just incomprehensible bullshit. And it doesn't make any sense.
And it makes sense when you read this article.
And not even, apparently.
No, but when you see, like, they siloed all
the... Yes. When you read this article, you're like, okay, this is why the writing is incomprehensible bullshit.
Because they siloed all these women off, and they made the choice that gameplay is more important.
Which is a totally... I think that's the right choice. Yeah.
But, like, so you kind of just, like, poison pill your narratives into basically being worthless, and no one cares.
Well, the funny thing about that, so there was another...
Have you ever seen a Destiny meme?
Destiny, no, yeah, right, no,
ever.
Never, not once.
Is that not like a damning indictment of the whole thing? Like,
absolutely.
Like, absolutely. GTA 5, for all its flaws, if we go to that game has good writing for whatever value that is.
Right.
It produces a lot of memes. Memes are a good indicator of, like, whether people are consuming product, right?
Yes. So I was pulling up this article. So this was published 2 days ago, and it was, I guess, in the aftermath of this IGN piece. Apparently, now this was like, again, there's one of these things that there's kind of multiple, let me just read it because it's pretty short. IGN published an in-depth investigation on December 10th into Bungie's alleged workplace culture of harassment. And now a popular Destiny content creator who has spent time as a Bungie contractor has added his tale to the pile. Bungie initially contracted Mylan Games to do one grimoire book. The cards tell Destiny's lore in a fragmentary fashion. Okay, that's a kind of a tell right there. And his job was to... So they hired an external contractor to collate and curate the existing material in a way that would make sense for readers.
So they're also, like, just cribbing off Mass Effect dossiers, which aren't... You don't need the dossiers to
number
make,
one,
to make
yeah,
sense.
Number one, the lore... We talked about this in the Mass Effect episode, and I'm sure we'll return to it when we have... we're going to get Spectre and Alex McNabb on for Mass Effect episode. Stay tuned for that. But not only do you not need the lore codex to perfectly well enjoy, especially Mass Effect 1, really all of the Mass Effects, the lore codex for 1 was extreme... Of my own volition, because it was cool and interconnected and actually was extremely well thought out for what it was, there were all kinds of very, very realistic... They had a whole kind of subplot across multiple codex entries about getting data to and from far-flung regions of space in their version of the internet, and how like expensive and time-consuming it was, and the technological solutions that they came up with to deal with that problem essentially involved like doing big packet bursts all at once. Like that never came up at any point in the story. It was never a gameplay thing. It didn't come up at all, ever, anywhere, at any point.
It gets referenced in 3 once.
Does it? I don't remember.
So you occasionally get emails in 3.
Yeah, right. Yes,
they're always
yes.
like 2 or 3 missions after
behind,
you would
yes.
because
it's because of the packet thing.
And
that's the closest it ever comes. Yeah. And you wouldn't even notice it if you didn't think it was like, okay, maybe they just, you know, whatever. So like that's really cool, really realistic, very obvious and like 100% certain evidence that the people writing this were taking their time and doing it right and really, really thinking through what they were doing. There's none of that in Destiny, right? And so the idea that you're going to like take these like some bullshit, I mean, they literally, it's like we need a +2 to this statistic on a card. Like, let's write some bullshit. It's not even like, because Dark Souls, okay, we could make the other comparison here, right, is Dark
you
Souls.
You do not
like,
need to read the things in Dark Souls to understand what Dark Souls is.
Exactly, and not only do you not need to read them and to understand what they are, like
most people don't,
and you can, and people who do, like I never really bothered to.
You have
until,
to enjoy the thing first, then you go
and then
read.
You're like, oh, I wonder what this was like kind of all about, and then people do a kind of pretty good. I've seen a couple good YouTube videos on like this is the lore of Dark Souls. It's like, oh, okay, that actually makes a lot of sense because they paid attention and went through, and you even there. So it's like even though From Software themselves, you know, didn't. It's not a huge emphasis for them.
We should make fake Destiny lore videos on YouTube.
That would be fucking hilarious.
Who would check us?
No one have any idea. They wouldn't even know. We would just cause arguments because people wouldn't even know. Oh, that would be funny.
Go into the wiki.
Yeah, right? And be like, actually. But yeah, so like From Software.
Did you know Hitler was a guardian?
It's true. It's in the lore on the wiki. You can see it. Like, I just added, you know. So From Software puts these little details there. It's clear, actually, they probably put more thought into a coherent narrative, even if it's told in this fragmentary fashion.
You do like a world first.
Yes, exactly.
And Destiny did, I think, the lore first and clutched.
They went
the world.
For a vibe first. They went for first. Okay, we want to do. We're humans. We're shooting aliens in it's like Borderlands in space, and we got to tell some kind of epic sci-fi story. Okay, we got this. We got the good orb versus the bad triangles. What next? You know, and even
Borderlands aesthetics are so much more cool and chunky. Like sci-fi loot shooters do well when things have a distinct feel, and guns in sci-fi shooters, that especially when they're all shooting some form of laser beam, or like they don't feel distinct in the way that they are like gameplay distinct, but they don't like. Borderlands guns have a certain chunk and feel in your hands.
Sure.
And Halo guns, too. They all feel like different and chunky. And
the plasma rifle versus the assault rifle versus the needler, et cetera, they all like feel quite different to use.
And you don't need that, but like it helps if you're trying to. Like, they picked a lesser aesthetic. It's easier probably to do, in terms of game design. And I think that's part of sacrificing everything on the altar of like being a good shooter. Is that it comes in, and there's a really interesting thing that I want to come up to my conspiracy theory on why what Bungie's doing and why they're doing it.
Sure.
So they want, there is an old guard at Bungie, 100%, and Parsons is probably the leader of this. But one thing really stuck out to me when she mentioned she was on like the diversity inclusion task force that met during lunch because they didn't get enough like.
That was the other thing. They were like, okay, so basically, and you have to read between the lines.
I'll just say what her narrative is. Her narrative is that there were, you know, it was half of like her friends and half upper management.
She implies
very heavily. I think she says they're all like the old white guys.
Yes.
It's old guard guys.
Yes.
From Bungie are the other half, and they would shoot down any kind of meaningful thing she wanted to do. Now, Bungie released a statement saying, oh no.
We have a new...
That committee was 100% diverse.
No, they say we have a new one that's 100% diverse.
I think they were implied that it was 100%.
They reformed the committee with 100% diversity.
Because I had a theory that the initial one was, and she's lying, and that they have a team of...
That's possible.
From the old guard, basically, like, they're hitters. who are like Pajits and Asian guys or like gay guys who are old guard and they get it.
Sure. Let's go.
And they exist to like stomp this stuff out.
Let's go, because this is a kind of a crucial passage, so we'll go through it in some detail. From 2016 to 2018, Hyponia became
like some My Little Pony shit. I don't like making fun of the names. It feels easy, but it's
like going for the nose. It's not the right target. Oh, yeah. Hyponia became part of an internal diversity committee that had been formed the year before. That's from which, I guess, 2015? Then just say that. The committee was an official Bungie group that, because of company restrictions on allotted hours for meetings and the lack of considered support for this particular group's needs to be successful, met only during lunch breaks rather than working hours. Translation, that line jumped out at me. Translation, she wants to get paid to do bullshit jerk-off diversity meetings during work hours.
They should have just let her do it.
Possibly, but like, I mean, it was just funny. It's like, yeah, you're not going to be... The meetings are to, like, make product, to make money. This doesn't make us money. Like, why... I mean, I understand, this whole thing is a racket. I get that side of it. My point is, like, it's just funny, this idea. Like, what makes you think that, like, any other company is going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, take 2 hours during a workday to, like, jerk off about diversity rather than get product out the door? About half of the original committee was made up of diverse individuals. Diverse individuals. I love that euphemism. From various departments. I think that's a new one to me, and it comes up again and again in this article. From various departments who were there to push for change. That was the other kind of thing about this article that I wanted to say, is like, because the edit, it's not even just a question of choosing to do this story. It's like diverse individuals pushing for change. Like, if you're like someone who dropped into the English language from, you're like, you know, transported from pretty much, I mean, even just 10 years ago, but like, you know, 100, 200 years ago, and somebody's talking about diverse individuals pushing for change, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You would have an idea, but it wouldn't be what they...
Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't be what they meant.
But the other half was made up of company leaders, all white, who Hyponia and other sources say put roadblocks in at every turn. So yeah, their job there was to like, okay, get this crazy bitch.
I don't believe that.
That's possible. Yeah, I really don't. Right.
Because there, even in 2015, 16, 17, there's no way there's a white guy head of the diverse board saying no.
Pushes to add a gender neutral bathroom to the company.
Also, which we get into the things like broadly in terms of, let's just get into like the meta thing of like labor politics. Crunch is a bad practice.
Yes.
And they have these committees and these people like Hyponia.
Cookie Hyponia.
It's not a real name. There's no way. That's like Plaxico Burris.
Yeah, right.
Levels of hilarious. It's worse, actually.
It's way worse. I don't know about way worse. It's worse.
But I mean, he's named after fucking like an antidepressant or anti-anxiety. Wasn't Plaxico like an old anti-anxiety medication or something like that? Some level come on medication. These people are allowed to do what they do because broad across the whole spectrum of like American labor relations, they want to poison pill like any kind of labor reforms at a company or nationally with support. They wanted to get public BLM support. They want the gender neutral bathrooms, which are easy things to give away in terms of labor disputes because no one actually gives a fuck. And like, oh, you got to have like revart again, Blizzard, like, you gotta like revarnish the breast pump milk room table so that it's not a porous table.
Well, like, yeah, sure.
But like that's like a horseshit demand that the company can acquiesce to and like
and not pay its employees a living wage.
Right? Yeah, and of course,
put a gender neutral bathroom. Not even put a gender neutral bathroom. Change one of the women's rooms into gender neutral and call it a day. Exactly.
Like these things are like, they're poison pills across the board.
Right.
And it prevents anybody who's not into their weird, fake, and gay stuff, which is the majority of people, they oppose it politically, they just don't want to hang out with those people. Like, if you're like, oh, I'm really, if you're a game dev, and even if you're like really into like labor politics as a thing, like, you come from a long line of like theoretical, like union organizers or whatever, and you get to this company, but you're not like a maladjusted weirdo, and you go to the first couple meetings of this thing.
You're like, oh my God, these people
and
are
it's
freaks.
Not like, you wouldn't even push back. You'd just stop showing up to the things. Sure. Because this stuff is like,
toxic
and bizarre. Yeah. And these people we know because they always have their internal scandals, even within these diversity things, and they're always like raping each other or saying they were, or like there's these people are like toxic outside of the politics.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the toxicity of the politics is in large part a reflection of the toxicity of the individuals.
Yeah, and like, what was the fucking? It's Normie News. It's not video games, but like, there was a Kyle Rittenhouse protest in Colorado that was derailed because one guy took the megaphone and was saying stuff, and then like three people came up behind him saying like that guy raped us.
I didn't see that. That's hilarious. That's your average leftist, your average male feminist. Yes,
but like, and that's also like, I don't know how much of that is true, how much that is like internal to their stuff, and
sure,
like it's also kind of how like free love stuff.
Well, you
ends.
Saw like, did you read? This is total derail, but on that same topic, but I don't know, to the general topic about Antifash Gordon, Exu, and how he basically is like, there's some giant blow up in Antifa world because he has a bunch of girls. Doing the Me Too bit.
Yeah, but he has like, I mean, he's got like big money Jews behind him. He's not going nowhere. Yeah.
Sure. I'm not,
I don't know, but yeah.
I'm not saying that, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I read their accusations. I read his thing, and it wasn't immediately clear to me. It was clear. It was like, because sometimes with stuff like this, you can mostly, like, when you're reading Cookie Hyponia, you're like, oh, okay, I can sort of read between this and IGN, I can sort of suss out, like, you know, what the kind of, you know, some extent of, like, what's actually going on. I had no idea what's going on with that. Like, it wasn't clear to me, like, okay, these women are lying or he's lying. I mean, clearly everybody involved is, like, the women are clearly mentally ill. He's clearly a dirtbag, but we knew that already. So, I don't know. It was just kind of one of these things. But anyway, yeah, so okay, let's continue with this, because this I guess we'll get back to the.
But can you go to that ending part where Bungie said to talk about? I want to say they're talking about that old team. It was the new team, that the new diversity.
I imagine that's what I'm about to. Yeah, yeah. This is about the thing. Okay, so Hyponia and I'm sorry, at some point it's gonna stop cracking me up. And other diverse members began to quit the committee in 2018. As the committee bled members, Bungie eventually decided that it was overall ineffective and shut it down entirely. Now, that was originally the end of that passage when the story was initially published. But then they have an update here, December 10th, 2:10 p.m. Pacific time update. Multiple anonymous sources had told IGN, so the anonymous sources had told IGN that the original Bungie Diversity Committee, which was not named as such, but this is like, I guess its formal name, had shut down before being revived in its new construction. And while Bungie had not replied to this particular detail prior to publication, they have since commented with additional information to clarify that the committee was not shut down. As we understand it, under this new context, it had instead struggled along for several months before being reformed to the committee as it is today. Bungie specifically passed along the following statement from Kareem Schuman. So it was like a Palestinian Jew, Michelin?
It's a black name.
Schuman? All right.
Their names are made up.
Current president of the Bungie Diversity Committee. Quote, "We do not want to deny or refute any statements regarding individual experiences at Bungie. However, in respect to the hardworking members of our committee, we believe it is important to recognize the fact that the BDC was never deemed, quote, overall ineffective, nor was it ever, quote, shut down entirely. Our members, in parentheses, currently 100% composed of individuals from underrepresented communities." So if it's 100% underrepresented, like, isn't that not underrepresented? Whatever. I just love these, like, language games that they play. "Deserve to be accurately remembered for their unceasing efforts despite the challenging nature of the work they have taken on." I want to pause here. So how many blacks are in this thing? Because, like, if it's more than 13%, they're actually overrepresented. Like, I just... Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, they're not. They're like
probably not. But yeah, so he says
also seems like one thing about Bungie narrative is they are probably juicing the numbers by hiring a lot of white contractors, because that is 100% between the lines,
right?
That they're every contractor they're hiring.
Well, this guy that I was talking about, so the they had the, there was another story I had pulled up. I guess he was, I don't know exactly if he was a contractor or not, but the in 2014, the veteran Halo and Destiny composer Marty O'Donnell, who I believe was the guy who came up with the Halo theme.
Yeah, no, he's like the guy. John Williams of video games.
Right. Point, yeah. Was fired by Bungie and ordered to return assets relating to his work on Destiny, including Music of the Spheres, the, quote, musical prequel he created with Paul McCartney. O'Donnell was also...
I forgot McCartney was involved in Destiny. Holy God, no cultural impact.
Zero.
Can you imagine a Paul McCartney project doing just jack shit?
I mean, on the counter argument is like, you know, Zoomers don't care about the Beatles, but yeah, no, totally.
There are like Beatles Zoomers.
I know, yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Though legally prohibited from sharing or even performing music from Destiny and Music of the Spheres, O'Donnell uploaded musical sketches and variations to YouTube and Bandcamp, including an album called Sketches for MOTS. This resulted in him being found in contempt of court earlier this year in order to pay Bungie nearly $100,000 in legal fees.
Oh, God. Martin O'Donnell, thank you. But fuck.
Of course not. But, I mean, he just... And he, I guess so. This was like he... As part of that settlement, he... Or whatever, part of that judgment, he... was told to post a message saying blah blah blah, and he went a mess. He posted this message a few, what was this, like a 25 days, so about a month ago, saying, "I do not have and have not had since at least April 2014 the legal authority to possess or distribute music related to Destiny, etc." So I don't know all of the details there, but yeah, I mean, imagine like this guy made the Sonic landscape for your most important stuff. And they just fire him unceremoniously and like order him to return everything. And I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. So who's making the music now? Probably just a bunch of these kind of contractor types that you're talking about. Yeah. That's why I brought it up.
Dude, they might even have him.
Yeah, right? Just there, like on a, not,
that
on a contract
basis.
Theme
in this
yeah.
article where yeah. someone is fired for bad behavior or bad optics and they brought in this contractor. They might even have him. It seems like a theme in this article where guy is fired for toxicity or being... whatever, too based, or you know,
not
just,
even just
like or whatever,
yeah,
whatever reason, and then he gets fired after them trying to get him fired for like a year, which is how it should work. You shouldn't just be fired because like Cookie comes and says he's sexist or whatever.
You mean?
Yeah, to and
he races,
yeah, and they bring these guys back because like a. It's kind of like the New York City subway system where, like, who the fuck knows what's going on in Destiny's story? You better... he, in theory, was the lead on the first one, so you can't cut him loose
well,
because...
I don't even think there was... Okay, so that's sort of like... I mean, again, this is almost...
Also, one other thing with the authorities.
Please.
So this guy, this one lead, maybe he was, like, a dick. Maybe, I have no idea. But he is fired and comes back as a contract help with two, because presumably he has to. And he's no longer a lead, nor has any authority in the studio as a contractor. But he's still like bitching people out and acting like he has the authority, and they're letting him do that. Like he's still being, you know, demanding and asserting himself, like as if he's still a project lead, because he fucking is. Because the whole point of this thing, like,
let's yeah,
these contractors are maybe in name worth, only because they're yeah. all like non-diverse enough.
And, oh man, I gotta find it. See if I can find this. No, that was a great episode.
He reduced me to tears or some shit.
Yeah, that was. Oh, there was one who was like, "Yeah, he would berate us when our work wasn't up to like the expected standard." It's like, guy.
I mean, frankly, there should have been more beatings involved.
Exactly. Right.
Like also, like Destiny as a narrative is unfortunately like I kind of feel bad. I haven't even looked to touch Destiny 2. It's unsalvageable. Like
yeah, though
there's
yeah,
no
yeah,
like
yeah, right.
Destiny 2 that's gonna save this thing.
You could throw it. You could. Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff you could do, and none of it would ever matter, right? Like, yeah, it's just not ever.
And not that even this probably was very good at his fucking job because Destiny 1 sucks story wise,
right?
But still, like,
Man, I can't.
Yeah, but like he like when she's like, oh, he wasn't a lead. He talked about his original vision and stuff, like. He said, "Oh, we're diverting from his vision, and he was berating us for it." And we get a top cover from like people who would say, "Oh, you're not work for the company anymore. You're a contractor. You can't yell at these women." It's like they didn't care because they hired him to be project lead. That's why you bring a guy back in.
Yeah, I can't find the thing. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, that's basically the story. Is like this guy was according to this version of events fired allegedly for bad behavior. And then was brought back on and sort of like treated as
if he was still a project lead.
Because de facto he is, yeah, irrespective of like whatever else. Yeah, because you know at the end of the day they're trying to move product.
So, which is my theory. I think they like I think Bungie, all the way to Parsons is, the word would be corrupt if they weren't doing what I think is a good thing.
Sure.
I think they realize they're like we need to play the game. We got to bring in some base minorities to handle these people, which they have. I think Bungie is being very aggressive about, like, oh, yeah, yeah, we do all the stuff. And then internally, they have a squad of, like, probably Indians and Asians and gay guys
right.
who know the shot and are just like, no. So and they make it, they fight with these women who are probably not good at, like, politicking in any way. Because they mentioned one guy specifically who, like, really charismatic and shot up to the top real quick. And ended up being fired because he was like showing women. He was like rating women and
right. Yes.
Showing women, like, Tinder. Hey, what do you think? The girl's hot. He's on Tinder or some shit. That is a kind of, it's frat bro, but it's also very like kind of a Pajit behavior
yes.
a little bit.
Yes.
And I think this was like their charismatic and all the brass love this guy. I think this was like a probably an Indian guy who knew the shot and like got along with the guys, with the boys. And they,
look,
and
look at this girl, Bob.
Because like, because. His meteoric rise to the top only makes sense if yeah. he's like a minority.
Look
right?
at this Bob, and they're yeah. like, oh yeah, those are nice boobs.
Yeah, or even like those like the horny, even like the Americanized ones. They still have like the same like,
yeah, yeah
you know,
yeah. yeah. Oh,
maybe
yeah,
he went
yeah.
to, maybe went to Caltech or some shit, but he's still like that guy, you know?
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah, they're like East and South Asians both can vary, especially like in the West Coast.
They can,
absolutely,
they can drop the accent, but they still
yeah,
like
yeah,
they're still like
yes.
those people, you know. But when, like, I think there's a squad of Bungie on this diversity team, in other words, they're just, like, the minority hitters whose job is to... They're probably good at their job aside of that.
Right.
Just shut down, like,
well, they,
all the
yeah,
black women,
I mean,
and
they're
all
high,
the
you know,
shit-lib
relatively women. High IQ subcast or, you know, whatever, you know.
We're also, like, just big Halo fans and join the company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, yeah, you could easily see how this
I'm
would...
here to do a Halo, you, right. you fucking...
Meanwhile, okay, so this was, I think, less overtly hilarious than the repeated thing about, like, yeah, when it's time to actually make the cinematics, all your stupid bullshit goes away. But about the gay thing.
Mark.
So, okay, oh, so another example of a time when the diverse members of the writing team were not listened to, which, I love this, like... There's the diverse members of the writing team. Like, diversity is like, not to put a go full schizo, but for a second, like, I forget, maybe it was Shadow Man. I don't know. If somebody first made the point of, like, I believe it when they say they, them, because they're infested by demons and, you know, Legion is demon and, you know, our name is Legion, et cetera. Like, when they talk about, like, in normal grammatical English, when you say another example, you talk about the diverse members of the writing team, what you mean is that the writing team has like internal diversity in its composition along whatever metric, which is in a sense what they mean, but grammatically that can't mean that. What they mean is diverse here, in other words, is not modifying the writing team, it's modifying the word members. It's the members yeah. of the writing team who are themselves diverse. So we're talking and that does not like that applies that would apply to each individual member. In other words, we're talking about an individual person who is diverse. Right, yeah. Which is like nonsense on stilts grammatically and philosophically. But if you're talking about being infested by demons, like that actually works totally well.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where I talk about, like this is their like thing. They're like this was one of the things they were allowed to get away with, right? Where they eventually won this fight, and he got to say like a dude's name instead of partner.
Yes, right, yeah, yeah. And, well, like, that's the yeah.
And
it, yeah.
Oh, and the Bungie took credit. Of course they did. That's yeah, why they do
why
these
they
things.
Do these, yeah.
You think they allowed you to fag up their shit
for the
to
audience
not get,
hey.
To not
sorry
you to not get like
yeah yeah yeah
yeah like oh, come on of course
so the instance of so the point is that they met this I guess the character Devrim K, who referred to a tiny in a tiny piece of dialogue referred to missing his partner,
which reminds me, is Cookie Eponia, whatever her name is it Eponia?
I think it's Cookie Hyponia. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm just saying Hyponia.
I'm mixing it up with like literal, like, pony poster. I think Hyponia is a pony. It's like the country they're in My Little Pony.
No, you got to be kidding. Okay.
I think. Anyway.
Anyway.
But is that just like a Destiny name? Like, I would assume Cookie Hyponia is just like a character in Destiny. If you
could totally
man,
it's
asked me
too,
yesterday.
It's a little too Negro.
Is Cookie
Hyponia yeah.
is that a character in Destiny or a real person? I would be like, oh yeah, he's like the shop guy or gal, whatever. Like, he's selling you upgrades to your shields. I don't like.
Oh my god. So, point well taken. In any case, so at one point in Destiny 2's development, a member of the team added an entire piece of library. It was a single small line among many other lines intended to be said by both Devrim and many other characters, blah, blah, blah. The line passed through multiple edits and checks. Yeah, because they're just checking themselves and editing themselves. Until it was put into a build of the game before someone high up at the studio noticed it and demanded it be taken out, or else they couldn't ship the game in Russia or China because of the mere implication of a gay romance.
Base.
Right?
Also, like, that's not how this
of course not.
Either of those things work. Like, you can
in China, I think they passed this law that might potentially run afoul
as of 2021, though. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even then, it's maybe because partner theoretically doesn't even necessarily. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that.
I think here's what we're talking about. There's a bunch of guys in Bungie trying to quash this stuff. That was their excuse to like, or from that faction of like, well, yeah. And then they realized, I think in the later day they kind of cucked. All right, we'll give them that. That's fine. Like, who cares if. In the far future, there's only fags or whatever. Yeah.
The issue received attention across the studio when it was sent to a QA tester to fix as a, quote, bug, which is, who's the real bug now?
How do you fix that? Wait, do they want the QA tester to write its own dialogue? Like, yeah. A la Sven, my wife. And just, like, and yeah. Put the MP4 up there.
Eventually, the line was adjusted to have Devrim just talk about someone named, quote, Mark, without any reference to who it was. This made it into the final game, and Bungie ended up being lauded for including a gay character, especially as Devrim's voice actor confirmed the relationship with the media not long after, unaware of the stir it had caused within the studio. One source recalled being furious. Bungie's writers had tried to gently make their story more inclusive with Destiny's first canon gay relationship. Bungie leadership tried to stop it, but then got to enjoy positive attention anyway. Now, again, on the note of like lore here, which I think is an extremely important part, it just goes to show you how far, like, quote, like, there is no narrative here. There's no any. What it is just another stupid little bullet point of lore in some gay little, literally gay little Wikipedia that they got going on. I love the idea that the voice actor is going to confirm the relationship is gay. Like, who, from a strict like story bible kind of standpoint, he's fucking chopped liver. He's nothing.
But like, in terms of like product consumed, like in the like, there is this weird thing where like. Marvel movies made this happen, I think, where like hyper, more so, where like hyper reality has made these actors into like their actual.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Which is why, what's her name? The bounty hunter from Mandalorian. She's like a former MMA fighter.
I know who you're talking about. I know the.
Like, the reason she was fired is because she was like.
The face of this thing.
She was a character, yeah. And. Do you, like,
she's not allowed to have her own
you
opinion.
Can't be like an yeah. anti-vaxxer. And because like, is the character now an anti-vaxxer? Because the answer in people's mind is yes.
Right.
Because like, there is a bizarre, like, it's the same, you know, like.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No. And, but I mean, I just, yeah, that's a really good point. It's just like, it struck, that just means something has gone very, very wrong. Definitely, you know, both in the society.
What if he
company.
Had said, if he had said, oh yeah, no, Mark's like a future chick name. Would that have been.
Or just his friend. Like, it is nothing that like, you know what I mean? Oh, I miss my friend Mark. Like, is that such a weird thing for someone? Are we so far down the slippery slope of the hermeneutics of gay suspicion that you get like, yeah, I had a friend named Mark. He died because the evil triangles got him. Like, yeah. I miss him. Like, you know what I mean? Like. I just can't with this shit, man. It's just so stupid. I really Sonic Race is probably more mentally ill. Destiny Race has to be the fucking dumbest.
Dude, they don't exist. I've never met or seen a meet. There's no cultural impact. I could imagine a theory of Destiny meme, but it's like a meme about like, oh, like shotguns or something. Like it's like a gameplay meme.
Yeah.
Never seen one of those either, but like I can.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Who is the like?
Who's the audience? Who actually
just, like,
buys this?
Bungie
shit?
Fan. Bungie know, has also like, who's gonna buy Destiny 3? Bungie's like burned all their like goodwill with Halo, right? Halo
yes.
was like,
yes.
Do you want to change gears off this?
Yeah, we could. You want to talk about Halo?
I played a video game this week.
All right,
I played new Halo.
We have to do an episode on this probably, but go on.
I don't. Eh.
You know, well, whatever. We'll see. We can always revisit Halo. Also.
Yeah. We just did last week with a rerun. Yeah. Oof. I got an angry, not angry, but a funny text about that from a buddy. I go, we really do reruns or a podcast, but yes.
Well, first of all, a lot of people haven't heard those episodes.
Yeah. They're deep cuts.
Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. But anyway, so, there are similar problems with it story wise. And I actually noticed one like trend kind of meeting up where there's like this, there's like a really annoying character in the game. He's like, you're notoriously like the Pelican pilot in Halo is like kind of a character. They're always a different person, kind of. Sometimes they die, but like,
sure.
It's like a voice. It's generally a male or female, kind of a reassured, like,
yeah,
fighter.
Yeah.
And they're like doing a twist on that where he's like a coward. Your pilot's like a coward, which fine. That's fine. But he's like really annoying.
Oh no.
And he's like very Hispanic.
Like Navi or like.
No. He's like a kind of constantly bitching, moaning, like, oh, I don't want to die. Oh, don't leave me. Don't. Pelican.
So this is the hand-picked pilot for the most elite soldier.
No.
Galaxy.
There's like, he's like the. He's like bottom barrier. There's narrative reasons that like you're like a guerrilla movement in this, on a
whatever.
Don't worry about it. That we'll get into that later. But he's just like he's just really annoying. But he's like very Latino. And it's like, oh, that's they gave the dev Browns this guy
to like do their thing with,
just so they could do literally everything else.
I guess probably he has anxiety and PTSD. I am sure he has various other. Oh no! I can guarantee you character sheet.
Oh, I'm sure
he has anxiety, PTSD, autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah. And it's funny because he's set up to be not. They do like he's like kind of stranded in space and it's like in like mm-hmm. in his ship's like shut down and he's like kind of in Matthew comes upon him and whatever. And there's a couple scenes of him before Matthew finds him where he's doing like kind of a. Not like badass, but not. He's doing like a castaway thing. He grows a beard and stuff, and you're watching him kind of survive alone in the ship a little bit.
Okay.
And he's like,
stranded in space.
Yeah.
All right.
And he thinks he's gonna die, and he's making peace with it, kind of. And then he comes out, and it's an interesting twist in that like he comes out of that, and he's like a total coward, and he just wants to get home and survive and go home. But he's really obnoxious, and he has a lot more dialogue than like it's just very grating because it's an open world game.
So you constantly hear him.
You constantly have to deal with him, yeah. And he's also...
How far did you get?
I'm going to finish it. I'm probably like 5 hours in.
Okay.
But you're going to have to get it. And so they've changed things where there's that. There's also like they broke that cardinal rule of Halo where there's a lot of characters.
Oh, no.
Kind of a lot now. And they're not as many as like a Destiny game, but it's more than, you know.
Oh, well, I mean, as you say, I think six is about right. For like a,
yeah.
If you're gonna have like a kind of at least even moderately story, you know, that's about where you're gonna max out for a first person shooter.
But they really have, and I think Medicare was talking about it on Twitter too. Like, and I totally agree. And I had this exact thought. What it's like because it's open world. After a certain point, it opens up.
Yeah,
it removes a lot of the urgency from a Halo.
Yeah. The whole thing is like you're playing like a science fiction movie, and the world's about to end.
Yeah, and the Far Cry kind of.
I hadn't appreciated that until because I kind of played Halo more piecemeal. The original Halo when it came out, I didn't like blaze through it. And so it was more like, but yeah, when I recently was playing the Master Chief Collection edition, I kind of basically played through it all in one sitting, more or less. And I was like, oh yeah, it's like this real. It's like very kinetic. It's driving you forward.
And they do that in dialogue, but you don't have to do the thing. Yeah. And if you like if you wait to rescue the Marines, they're fine. Like
go
to the point on the map, rescue the Marines, they're fine. And that takes a lot out of like the Halo experience. Also, I don't know, maybe it'll be in certain missions, but there's this thing where like you're free. It's very far. You're freeing outposts and setting up a kind of a guerrilla thing against the. And it doesn't make
sense. So it's like Far Cry.
It's very Far Cry.
Oh my! Okay, I mean, I guess if it works,
gameplay,
it works.
Gameplay Halo gameplay is very good. They added some stuff like
I heard the
grappling hook.
The grappling hook is
yeah. No, it adds a certain like. You can move around a lot faster than a Halo game, but it when you're not using it, it feels like a Halo game. There's a lot of good gameplay elements. It sort of doesn't make any sense as of right now because the big super carrier from 5, which is like a giant city-sized, like Warhammer 40K scale ship, crash is destroyed in the beginning of the game, or before even you start the game.
Okay.
And in theory, and enough...
Like off-screen, or... In a cinematic.
In a cinematic, but... And then it's revealed, like... There's, like, a fight.
And then there's, like, a... Okay, gotcha.
And then time passes.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, this thing is destroyed.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we lost the battle, right? Yeah. And the thing is, oh, we lost this big battle against the Banished, who are the New Covenant. It's... Which are, and they're fine. They do some stuff that's interesting, where, like, they use... They now pick... They've... They're not, like, a religious... Covenant thing.
Yeah.
They have elements of that, but it's more like a warrior culture. Like they'll pick up human guns and go, it's cool. It's just like
interesting.
And then, so they're playing with some of like the expectations a little bit, which is good. And there's a lot of great elements in it. But there is just some weirdness. Like one thing is like, so you think at first you're the only people, but actually this Halo ring is just full of crashed Marines that have been like, you've been like out for like 6 months, like in like floating in space or whatever. And like, it's, there's like still like troops in contact when you go into new areas and, or they're captured. Some are captured, which makes sense. But, and also like there's the enemy army that's occupying this thing is like sending like its forces, like one gunship at a time at you, and it's whatever. And like, why don't they just send the whole thing? Like,
yeah,
wipe you out. They're doing like, it's Far Cry in that kind of sense, but it makes a little less sense because it's,
well, with Far Cry, it's like it's a tin pot dictator in a third,
yeah,
world,
this is like a guy with a ship. Yeah. Like he should just be able to move the whole ship to you and just erase your outpost. It's not you. Like the outpost should just be getting smashed constantly. Yeah. If this was like a guerrilla war, and there's like a dumb lampshade over it, but it just, that doesn't make sense either. But it does feel good. Like the gun, it feels like Halo.
I heard the assault rifle shoots a lot better. Like it feels.
I'm not. I
at least the multiplayer. I don't know.
Maybe I haven't touched multiplayer too much yet. Just like one round. I was like, oh yeah, Halo. Yeah, check the box.
Yeah.
But and I'm okay with like how it is. It's good. It's very samey. One thing that you would be interested in is there is a lot of a return to tradition in that they are trying. So you were more into the RTS stuff with initial Halo.
Yes.
There was also the MMO stuff, like open world.
Yes, yes.
They are kind of returning to that where there are like, you're on a Halo ring. There's no numbers popping out of guys when you shoot them, which is still great. But you can get like, you kill, there are bosses, which are, people have been talking about how positively on Twitter, and so they like the bosses. I find the bosses are kind of like whatever. Some are, one or two are good, but a lot of them are very lame. And
probably nothing's going to top the Scarabs from 3.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that they've kind of, I don't know if it might happen later, they've lost that narrative scale, like where there's not really scenes of you and like 100 dudes charging in.
Right,
like,
right.
And which Reach and 3 did like really well, where even if it wasn't actually, if you think about it, a big battle,
it felt like a huge,
like this huge thing.
Yeah.
Even
1 did that pretty well.
Yeah, it was much more,
yeah,
but 3 like really, scale, there's a huge scale of these things. And maybe it'll come in like a story mission, but it's really dumb when I free like 12 Marines from a thing, and then I go to the next Far Cry point to kill a guy or take a base, and they don't follow me.
Oh.
They'll follow you if you're in a vehicle, but just the two guys will get in the vehicle, with like the Warthog with you. And there's no mechanism to really order. Maybe
I'm sure that, well, there's nothing that's going to like, what are they, probably would be a completely unbalanced encounter if they did.
Yeah, but it's still me.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm just like.
And also, like they are weak. Like, they'll get wrecked because they're Halo Marines.
Yeah.
It's their job, right?
Imperial Guard, yes.
Yeah. One actually really annoying, felt really cheap, was I was going into an encounter with a boss and I had to like get up to a place they couldn't go, but it would seem cheap if they just can't go into that place with you because they're supposed to follow you off the mission if you're doing like a mission. And they just released like these new enemy. It's like they're just brutes without guns who just charge and mess you up and like melee attacks. And you can handle them pretty easily. They're not that hard for the player, but they just like kill your Marines because you know.
Yeah,
but it's like
yeah,
whatever. And they've introduced a lot of characters, and there's some like, there's like a Far Cry style like enemy announcer who's like enemy propaganda officer if you go into the enemy held areas.
Wow, they really go in like full.
Yeah, it's very it works. It just, it takes away certain Halo things. It's not, it's good. It's good. Like, it's more Halo. I'm getting, it scratches the Halo itch.
Sure.
They've done some choice. I think it's probably worth playing, but I would obviously wait for a sale. Yeah. I have Game Pass because I.
There you go. Yeah.
Also, it's funny. I have Game Pass. I still don't have the new Xbox. I still have. Also, it plays great on the old console.
I bet.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I haven't. I'm sure maybe there's a difference, but it feels fine. Like, this could have been done decades ago, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's 343. It's not Bungie Halo.
Sure.
But it's good and playable.
I don't think Bungie, the kind of backdrop to all this is, could Bungie make a Bungie Halo?
No, clearly not. No, 100%
right?
No.
You know, so like,
it'd be like, you know,
God can only imagine what that would be like. Oh my.
They were already going into a lot of characters in Reach.
Yeah.
And they did it well because they didn't have too many lines. You could just, they were all right. Like, it was all like their what they did, storytelling. But it's not bad, but it's, it's kind of like what's the first Force Awakens? Was that first the new
Star Wars?
The new first Star Wars prequel.
Yeah, that was
where it's like a New Hope, so it's not terrible. The beat matches the beats. Yeah, it's a very similar vibe. Where I enjoy this product. I enjoy the stuff. They're hitting similar beats.
Sure.
There's like wildlife in the Halo ring, which is something they wanted to do in the original Halo they couldn't do, stuff like that.
Is it alien, or I guess it has to be.
Yeah.
I always liked the Pacific Northwest vibe. I thought that was
It's very much that with some like weirder alien architecture. It's good.
Yeah.
I don't hate it at all.
Sure.
But it's not.
It's interesting, like where the industry is we're now making, you know, what amount to mainline sequels of the seventh ish order to games that were popular 20 years ago. Like that's I don't know. It's
well, also I don't mind that in video games there's like no shame in a sequel at all. It's utterly shameless.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, the part of me that minds is the part that cares about stories, which I know we've talked about this before and I'm sure will come up again. Like
yeah, read a book nerd. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At the same time, particularly for single player experiences, I think
their first three Halo, well, I guess up to Reach is like a good
story. Yeah, exactly. Perfectly serviceable middle brow sci-fi. And each individual chapter, you know, has a distinct narrative arc that makes a certain amount of sense. That's, you know, it's not bad by any means.
Also, gonna say a lot of work went into the gun feel.
Yeah,
again, which is like what Halo's kind of known for.
Right,
that's always important to Halo, and that battle rifle feels really good when you're doing attacking grunts and whatever, or anything else, or brutes, or even. And they've managed to make. Everything kind of makes, like, all the guns kind of make sense, and they all kind of do different things, but like Halo, you can use all of them in any situation, and if you want. And the pistol's not as good. People like it, so it's very divisive in the Halo community because it doesn't have that good 2x zoom on it that the traditional did, but it plays similar. It doesn't look as chunky and cool as the, you know, original Halo 1 through 3 pistols, but whatever. They have preserved Halo. It is like this is a good enough Halo product, and I'm currently enjoying it.
Cool.
The Far Cry elements are weird, but they're not like, they slow the pace of the game down, which kind of stinks. Like, Halo games are hard for me. Maybe also fact of age and like how much time I had it, but like they were hard to put down.
Sure,
I can put this down. Like, don't feel anything. And that's kind of that.
Yeah, I mean,
do not buy it full price unless you,
yeah. Unless just a total. Yeah,
I'm playing for free with the Game Pass stuff, which is a good service. Even if you don't have the new Xbox, it's a
good deal.
A good deal.
Yeah, I saw some stuff about apparently, which was kind of news to me. PlayStation is not doing well at all, especially in Japan, and Sony's first party. You know, their internal studios and so on. Japanese audience just hates all of it.
That's interesting. Although I have people saying like how stuff does look boring. People say the Forsaken is their like.
What's Forsaken?
It's like their new RPG. It stars like a black girl, I think, or is black girl on the cover. I don't know if it's actually stars black girl. But
wait, what? Okay,
it's like an open world RPG thing.
I mean, I guess it was inevitable. But oh my god.
People saying, "Oh, this is gonna be kind of lame and whatever."
Could you imagine being like a Japanese video gamer and being like, "What the fuck?" or whatever the expression would be in Japanese, like, "Oh my god, what is wrong with these people?"
And I think it's like I think it's first party, or it's like it's one of their flagships. I don't know if it's first party, but it's like it is exclusive, and you know, so we'll see. I mean, I guess you're still gonna get Uncharted and stuff, I guess, right? So,
yeah, sure. No, it's more just an interesting reflection on like. Because to me, as you know, very much a PC Master Race kind of guy, the
Halo Infinite.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. All the Microsoft first party title, all the quote unquote console exclusives would be, are all on Windows. So it's like, well, you know, it's just. I mean, you know, it's an interesting. I don't know. We've talked about the supply crunch and all this stuff before, but yeah, it's weird. I mean, I understand the business reasons for it, there were a bunch of like 360 era titles that I missed out on because I didn't have an Xbox, and I only had a PC. So you know, and with the architecture now being basically just a straight up x64 for both consoles. And with a regular, you know, AMD GPU, it's a trivial problem, essentially. It's an optimization problem, not a like architecture problem to port these titles. Yeah, I don't know, but Halo. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely appreciate that they're doing, you know, making effort and doing something worthy of the name. Did you see? And not that I was ever into Pokemon, but have you seen like the new Pokemon shit? It looks like an N64 game. It was a Christy Jr. on Post was sharing really? A bunch of screenshots. Yeah, I'll send you some posts or put something in the link. Yeah, but it's literally like you're looking at N64 trees. It's terrible. But this is the new flagship title that Pokemon fans are going to be paying two full price titles. Right, I guess because I don't know if that's still a thing. I presume that it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
So you know, I mean, Halo fans aren't in that situation, I guess.
We brought this game, the Space Marine, which looks really good. I'm a big fan of original. Yes. Original Space Marine's great. Yeah, it's one of the best games ever made, in my opinion. It's probably the best. It's better than Dawn of War. It's a 40K game.
Sure.
I think it'll turn out well. 40K has changed a lot since that.
It has.
But
they've like, I don't think we covered this on the, again, we would have gone in a previous game record that we just didn't end up making, but 40, this hilarious, did you see this with the Pintura Austrianico or whatever is the no. Austrian painter? You didn't hear about this?
It was 40K?
Yeah.
No. This is like my wheelhouse, damn.
So, I don't know exactly how long ago, it's been at least a month, maybe more like two or so, I don't know exactly, but it's been a while. So there was a 40K tournament in Spain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this. I think this was a good one.
There was a 40K tournament in Spain where a guy shows up with like what was it, a phalanges?
A phalange t-shirt.
Yeah.
And
I think it was another thing too, though.
Yeah, he had like some, there was some Nazi stuff
involved. It wasn't a swastika, but it was definitely the phalange and I forget what else. And his name for the tournament was Austrian Painter in Spanish. and of course, you know, his
one of the things is that the standouts that the tournament two people complained the tournament organizers like, I don't care.
Yeah, right. It was this blog post that went viral and that ended up having to like,
it's this great mixture of like,
we're viral for like SJW values of viral. I mean, it's a couple hundred people.
But it's funny in that it's like, it's a clash of like Spanish views towards that, which is extremely tolerant and like doesn't really care.
No one cares.
I mean,
very few people care in Europe generally.
Like Leon Degrelle died in bed at a certain point. You know, no one was bothering him.
Yeah.
And then there's this Anglophone Marvel movie view of World War II.
Yes.
Where he's wearing this Hydra shirt, you know, like
Yeah, no, that's the vibe. Yeah. Very much so. That's exactly right.
Did you know there are Hydra fans in the 40K?
Oh my god. Yeah, so they like, I guess Games Workshop had to step in, ban him personally for at least a period of time, and like the tournament organizers had to apologize, and then Games Workshop issued this statement that was like basically like, our fans are inclusive and we don't want fascists buying our product. It's like, the only people who buy your product are fascists, you fucking retards.
Like, hey, bright guy, like, you, like, you made this product.
Yeah, like, do you know, we were doing an irony.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
so they're actually kind of, it's more of the Black Templars are kind of, they're a Crusader aesthetic. Yeah. Ignore the giant iron cross on a black on a white background on his shoulder pad. It's a Crusader thing.
It's a Crusader thing for sure. Yes.
Now he's like purity obsessed and Blitzkrieg oriented, but
that also ignores, of course, the continuity between the Iron Cross and the all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but no, of course, it's no. They know what they're doing, and they've done it the whole time, and people, and they profited off of it because it's one of the few areas that's at least or up to relatively recently had been culturally sanctioned. You could just
One thing that is interesting, this thing, because I remember now that you're still coming back to me, they said like 40K is a satirical piece.
Yeah, right.
The thing is, 40K was in the 80s, had elements of like heavy metal magazine stuff, satire, and...
Well, the original, like the first version of the rules was very much like, it was intent... I don't even think it was intended to be played. It was sort of, or at least it was like, you could play it, but it was like...
Yeah.
Like, we're just kind of doing a funny...
Pastiche. Yeah, kind of a pastiche. It's like, well, it was, hey, what we did Star Wars and Warhammer. And like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like the first Inquisitor was like Obi-Wan Kenobi. His name was like something Kenobi or something Obi-Wan something. It was like... and they have gotten away from that. Like, the post 90s 40K takes itself extremely internally seriously. It is not satire.
Yeah. They also have it makes, I think, a lot more, I mean, it's not,
it's better when it's not better, satire. The satire is not very good. What is it even satirizing?
What is it satire? Exactly. Yeah. What is fascism?
It's like, no, you're not. Like,
you're doing, well, ultimately, and this is, you know,
there was the Pooh made that good post. Was it you made that good post or somebody else that, like, 40K is a study in what if, like, was it non-physical, like, metaphysical evil, what if it caused, like, physical damage in the real world? How would you address that?
Yeah, that wasn't me, but yeah, that's exactly.
And it would be space, a fascist state,
space fascist,
to enforce metaphysical good.
Yeah.
Because you have to. Because
otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise you fall to metaphysical evil immediately, right? So, so that's, in like, yeah. But there's a new 40K, I think we brought up earlier, has like a sacrificial writer who's a trainee or a libtard or whatever.
that's on Space Marine
2. Space Marine 2.
Okay.
Yeah. And hilariously, the 40K writer's room for like the books, which is like, you know, the Black Library guys, I think there's a couple of chicks who have written it, but it's like all dudes.
Of course.
And because
like, they're the only ones who are interested in it.
Also, who's like, even like your theoretical whammon, like writing on a video game and writing a 400-page Horus Heresy book
are two, like, very different things.
Yeah. Yeah. One.
You're doing inventory flavor text versus like,
That they're like serious.
And even if your book sucks, you have to like put a certain amount of effort over a certain period of time.
And you have to like coordinate. Also, before, you have to coordinate like six other guys who are writing books at the same time frame. And like you have to read all the other books who wrote in the same time period. And So do you want to, I think we have one more story. Do you want to do the Manic Pixie game dev?
Yeah, we got it. Unfortunately, I don't know how to hook up the audio. I'll figure out a way. I'll make a note.
You can just read that.
We can read the. Do you have a link though? Because I need.
Dig it up. I have to go through once again, digging through old Medicare tweets to do prep.
Yeah, right.
But I guess I'll do some background while I. So, this was like what, 3 weeks ago almost.
Yeah, something like that.
So there was this poor bastard of an indie dev, who you can like feel nothing but sympathy for this guy. So there was like an indie dev scene. Like indie devs all kind of hang out and talk, and they're a community for whatever community is in the current year. And they have like comparable sexual dysfunction internally to a like Antifa cell. It's very much like it feels like a reboot of Gamergate in a lot of ways. Just
sure.
So, goddamn, Medicare. Why is Medicare tweet about COVID so much? I want to get to the.
Okay, here we go. So.
Oh, okay. I found it, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is the guy now. I'm just gonna put a note to have it here.
I'm gonna play another voice recording of my ex here.
I'm better than you. I'm better than you. You can't. Can't stop me. I am going to ruin your life. I am going to ruin your life. You're fucking going to jail. You're going to fucking jail.
Yeah, so I'm going to ruin your life if you're going to fucking jail. And I mean,
So there are, in this scene, there are these like chicks who are nominally game devs, but not really, that kind of sleep around the whole like indie dev scene.
Yes.
Which is kind of like a known thing. I think that's wasn't Depression Quest one of these groupie chicks games?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, they make these nothing games that aren't.
Yeah, a lot of it's just, I mean, there's a whole. They release these titles on itch.io for like $2 each,
and they're just so they can like say that I'm a girl game developer or whatever. And like, but even I don't think this chick ever actually has released a game. Like she has
Zoe Quinn.
No, the crazy girl on this one.
I don't even know if she was a dev or just a fan.
I think she was in this scene. I think she had worked on a game once.
By which she like, you know, did a Hello World script in C or something.
Yeah, whatever. But obviously, like, the women who are attracted to indie game developers are like, there's a gold digger element because they're all kind of pretty good lotto tickets. Like, if your guy's game is next Fez or whatever, you're set, right? So there's like a gold digger element. And also, like, they're all very deeply in, because it's like such an online community, and they're all like liberal women. They're all really into this cancely stuff. Yes. and this poor guy.
And so this is the video from him. He has also playing on the same time as his screen where he's like explaining himself or whatever. He has some messages from her where she says, anyways, to be crystal clear, Bane, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Bane or Bane, is very respectful during sex and has never made me feel unsafe, capital LOL. Even the panic attack stuff, he's just repetitively doing the layman, confused person response, which is understandable until you realize I've told him many times to not do that. So I guess she's having panic attacks while they're having sex. He's trying to be like, you know, nice to her instead of being like, crazy bitch, get the fuck out of my bed.
Yeah.
And she's upset that like she's already told him, no, this is how you deal with it when I'm being hysterical.
Yeah. But she's like doing the crazy, like he just released his game.
Right.
Yeah. And she decides to come out with all this stuff. And like there's this coordinated thing of her and the video game trannies are trying to cancel him.
Here's the next message. He's such a pile of shit. I'm going to kind of enjoy now when/if he gets canceled, though that would imply more people fucked over. I don't fucking care about all his friends blindly patting his ass anymore, though, even if they're nice. Play Hypno Spam to get QT Publisher GF, but then torture her too much to keep it going. 4chan Carrot, reverse engineer hypothesis in order to give your rapist an eating disorder, make him go
so
bald.
She went nuts.
And make him get terrified of birds. Also tell his friends so his game gets canceled, as if that matters.
So she went nuts and is nuts.
Probably you think?
And she has this narrative where he was hypnotizing her.
Oh my god.
And she had turned it around on him.
So she's like legitimately schizophrenic.
Yeah.
She's like seriously.
Yeah,
like,
and
yeah.
This thing is like still, I don't know.
But that's unironic, like, you know, DSM schizophrenic. Like, that's
This is, you know, your brain's full of demons posting. I don't read the DSM.
You were trying to hypnotize me, but I'm going to hypnotize you.
Yes. Yeah. It's, and she, like, I do believe he, like, gained weight over the course of developing an indie game.
I can imagine.
And she claimed, like, credit for, and, like, he didn't go bald. He's not bald.
He's clearly not.
His man's got a, he's got a, maybe, like, a half inch receded hairline because he's a 35-year-old game developer. It's like, you know, he's basically in game dev uniform.
Right.
He's a little bit overweight. He's a little schlubby looking. He's got a, you know, beard. And this was, like, a legitimate attempt to cancel this guy. And I think it's interesting because he's trying to appeal to, like, reasonable people without appealing to us. And, like, by us, I mean, like, gamers who are aware of, like, women. or just, like, this kind of woman. He's doing, like, the whole, like, appealing to, like, listen, she is, like, crazy, guys. And I don't...
Was he canceled? I don't know.
I mean... How would you cancel this guy? He is an indie. It's probably canceling any dev.
Well, that I understand, but what about his game? I mean,
it's still on. I think he's still on Steam. Like, why haven't you canceled? Like, he's a fucking indie dev. it's a ridiculous prospect to cancel any dev because he's not backing down. He knows he's in the right, even if he's not like our guy. He knows, like, he didn't hypnotize him.
Well, I mean, I had an experience the other day, so I got a discount code for Matrix Games, which is like the uber nerdy armchair general, you know, corner of things. And I treated myself for Christmas to a hardcover edition of, like, including the manual of Gary Grigsby's War in the East 2, because, you know, that's how we roll. And but I was curious. I was looking up on Steam. I was like, what are people saying about War in the East 2? Because this is like the, you know, this is the Grognard operational level simulation for the Eastern Front. And there was this hilarious, so it started with, like, people were talking about, like, oh, there's, you know, some issue with air unit fuel. I'm like, okay. So I'm reading the thread, and it's like, well, this guy has what initially sounds like some kind of you know, reasonable critique of, like, oh, they're not splitting air fuel from tank fuel. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I could see both sides of that. Maybe what's your argument? So various people jump in, and it's one of these things. It's this hilarious case yet again of, like, I'm seeing both of you arguing, but, like, one side, it's like, you know, you're not making yourself look any better. Like, the more you try to say, like, you know, this guy just dug in after he was repeatedly being like, well, actually, we do it this way for reasons, and it doesn't have the effects. You make it think it have. You could see a situation where, like, you wouldn't want to be able to convert aircraft fuel to tank fuel just at a game level. Like, it's not
that's going to produce an unrealistic simulation. Like, no, that's never going to happen because it's really about distributing fuel at the point, whatever. I don't want to get into the details. The point is, it was just funny to watch this, you know, I talk about this because it's the same way that we were reading, I think, the Bungie article in IGN was like, I'm seeing two people talking to some extent, and I can observe, like, the more that the one side talks, like, even the things that make it seem like they're, you know, defending themselves or that they themselves believe to be somehow exculpatory or explanatory are actually just proving the other guy's case. And just another example of that, I think, with this. Yeah, I mean, what's her argument even? Like, he tried to hypnotize me. Like,
I think she's a crazy person and she has friends.
Yeah, crazy. Imagine that. Trannies are crazy, yeah. Like, have mental problems, yeah. Yes.
And it's rough.
What was it like, the other thing of, I guess, what, irrespective of the verdict, we believe black people in the, with the Jacob Blake, was it? I think BLM Wisconsin or somebody, we should, I don't know, it was, I mean, with Jussie Smollett, even better. It was, I remember now, it was BLM Chicago was like, we believe Juicy.
Which means like he gave somebody $3,000.
I guess,
whoever probably, has that Twitter account like $3,000.
Yeah.
Because, of course you did. Which is a good move.
Good move by you, I guess. Yeah. I mean, look, there's a value in sticking by your friends. I'm definitely not knocking that as a principle. I just, I don't know how you, like, I mean, what disturbs me is the idea that someone's going to, like, listen to that. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. Maybe she just was like.
There was so basically what they managed to do, because, and once again, indie dev, unless Steam takes the game down, he wins. And something happened. Like, I only know of like one case where a game was canceled. That was Heimat Defender, which is free on I think all over the internet now. Which is like made by, I think, was it GI in Germany or an equivalent group?
It was like our guys basically.
Yeah, but I think it was Generation Identity or something. Or
I think you might be right.
Or some offshoot.
Yeah.
Or like the guys who were in it or had some kind of ties.
Right.
That was taken off Steam.
Yeah.
For like.
Obvious reasons.
So that's right. Like the line. Not even like, that's like the line.
Yeah, even that Palestinian simulator didn't. It's still there.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's not out yet. We'll see. We'll see.
But it has the. It has a store page. Like, yeah, clearly, yeah, like, yeah. They know that it's there at some level.
And there's been enough fetching that they're
right.
Yeah,
but so that's there, right? You know. But anyway, yes, yeah, so this is not going to get taken down.
But like, so the discussion page for the game and the reviews are full of people saying he's a rapist, effectively, and. But that's
like, I shouldn't laugh. I'm laughing because it's just ridiculous. Like, I mean, I guess it sucks that it happened to him. I mean, this is why you don't stick your dick in crazy. But, you know, I don't know what else he did wrong besides that.
Like, yeah, I mean, probably being kind of like, even like, I would argue even like answering the allegation. Although reading it, he has so much evidence
that
it is.
He has so much.
It's tempting.
It's totally, yeah. No, it's, well, especially, I mean, look, you put yourself in his shoes. You make this product. It, you know, it's doing however it's doing on Steam, and then a bunch of psychotic trannies come and be like, he raped a woman! Yeah. Don't buy this game! Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would be mad too.
Oh, yeah, no.
Man.
Is that all the news that's fit to print?
I think that's all. That's probably all we got for now. So, hope you all have enjoyed. We should be back next week with some primo NFT game content, so keep that on your radar. In the meantime, hope you're all staying safe. And again, just for emphasis, do not stick your dick in crazy. Take care, everybody. I'm an MK Ultra victim. There's poison in my system. I'm an MK Ultra victim. There's poison in my system.
uses. I'm an